Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. I know you were counting the days till you heard us again. I am Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Parsha this week is Lech Lecha. Avram is told to leave his birthplace and go to a land which God will show him. And Avram goes right to work, spreading the knowledge of the one true God. Meanwhile, Lot, his nephew, separates himself from Avram, and he settles in evil Sodom, where any good deed gets punished. He gets himself involved in the Battle of the Five Kings, and Avram has to go and rescue him, killing four of the five kings and getting blessed by Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is now known as Jerusalem. Well, God foretells Avram the Holy Land he will receive in the exile and persecution of the people of Israel. Good news, bad news. Avram has a son with his maidservant Hagar and names him Ishmael. And 13 years later, Avram becomes Abraham, and then Sarah becomes pregnant and gives birth to Yitzchak. And when Sarah sees Ishmael trying to do harm to Yitzchak, she asks Avram to send him away. But Avram doesn't want to do it. You know what? God tells him, listen to Sarah. And we're still listening to our wives today for our own good health. And they thought women's liberation was some new concept. Well, as it says in Kohelis, there is nothing new under the sun. And speaking of new, our staff is ready with new material, with the best in Jewish radio. With Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Mr. Vordelin, and me with my voice still hanging in there but coming back slowly. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up in a half hour. And by the way, if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. We want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You know what? We got to have your support. And if we don't get your support, you're not going to hear us on the air too much. So if everyone does help a little, nobody has to help a lot. So please, it is time. We are at the getting close to it. So call us and get the mitzvah today, 412-979-5770 or jewishexperience@verizon.net. And, of course, you could consider sponsoring your favorite segment, Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah Lesson, Popular Stories segment, Community News and Announcements, Popular Feminine Perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is ready for you to step up and sponsor the segment. So call right now and reserve your spot. As always, we continually thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. When you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And don't forget, candlelighting time tonight, 6:16 p.m.
Yeah.
An insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
This week's Sedra opens with Hashem's command to Avraham, "Go out of your land and your birthplace and your father's house, unto the land which I will show you." One of the 10 difficult tests with which Hashem tested Avraham was this command, to leave his home and go to a strange land. Avraham's journey is compared to the enforced journey and descent of the divine soul from the spiritual realms into the physical body. Our sages said that each and every soul was in the presence of the divine majesty before coming down to this earth. This emphasizes the essential nature of the soul, its holiness and purity, and its being completely divorced from anything material and physical. The soul itself, by its very nature, is not subject to any material desires or temptations, which arise only from the physical body and animal soul. Nevertheless, it was the Creator's will that the soul, which is truly a part of the divine above, should leave its home and its father's house, and should journey and descend into the physical and coarse world, to be confined within and united with a physical body for scores of years, in a state which is absolutely repulsive to its very nature. All this is for the purpose of a divine mission, which the soul has to fulfill, to refine and elevate the physical body and its environment through a life of Torah and mitzvos. When the soul fulfills this mission, all the pain and suffering connected with the soul's descent in life on this earth are not only justified, but infinitely outweighed by the great reward and everlasting bliss which the soul enjoys thereafter. From the above, one can easily appreciate the extent of the tragedy when he disregards the soul's mission on earth. For, in doing so, he condemns the soul to a term of useless suffering, not compensated for by that everlasting happiness which Hashem had intended for it. Even when there are brief moments of religious activity in the study of the Torah and the practice of the mitzvahs, it is sad to contemplate how often such activity is tainted by the lack of real enthusiasm and inner joy. If one will reflect upon the great value of Torah mitzvahs, through which one is enabled to attain the soul's perfection and fulfillment of the divine purpose, he will experience a sense of real joy at his fate and destiny, despite the many difficulties and handicaps from within and without, which are inevitable on this earth. In this way, he will be able to live up to the injunction, serve Hashem with joy.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Foreword, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Foreword reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Foreword also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Foreword, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
412-521-2600. Aleichem shalom.
Uray kotayi. Uray kotayi.
Fun pahotzik. Tut man in Pahotzik, will dir wissen? Elchachzach. Men sagt lechayim misfreilach und men dient Hashem echod. Men sagt lechayim und misfreilach und men geht akarachod. Men zogt lechayim und misvreilach und men dient Hashem echod und men davnt mit islames und men geht akarachod. Men zogt lechayim und misvreilach und men geht akarachod.
Men zogt lechayim und misvreilach.
Men zog lechayim umisfreilach ומן גי הקרחו מן זוג לחיים עוד נשפלח ומן גי הקרחו מן זוג לחיים ומשפלח מן גי הקרחו מן זוג לחיים ומשפלח מן גי הקרחו מן זוג לחיים ומשפלח מן גי We say L'chaim, now we're so happy, and we serve Hashem with love. We say L'chaim, now we're so happy, and we do the karaho. The men drink bashkel, men hulet, men get the karahot. The drink bashkel, men hulet, men get the karahot. The drink bashkel, men hulet, men get the karahot. Men get, men get, men get the karahot. Karahot, karahot, karahot. Oy, men drink bashkel, men hulet, men get the karahot. The drink bashkel, men hulet, men get the karahot. Men get, men get, men get the karahot. Men get, men get, men get the karahot. Karahot, karahot, karahot. Make it a karaoke.
Akarabot.
Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
With prophetic insight, the Mishnah described the societal turmoil of the 1960s. In the period which will precede the coming of the Mashiach, insolence will increase. There shall be no rebuke. The truth will be absent, the young will shame the old, the aged will rise before the youth, a son will despise his father, a daughter will rise up against her mother, a person's enemies are his family members, the face of the generation is that of a dog, a son is not embarrassed before his father, and we can only rely on our Father in heaven. The tidal wave of change that engulfed the world in the second half of the decade created a ripple effect that is still being felt in Jewish and general society. In particular, three major events occurred that had a major impact on the Jewish people. The overturning of the old world order in both social values and intergenerational relationships, the dramatic Israeli victory in the Six-Day War, and the stirrings of what became known as the Baal Tshuva movement, the discovery by previously uncommitted Jews of their religious heritage. In his book, Faith or Fear, Elliot Abrams observes, "To be a Jew in America, indeed to be a good Jew, did not and does not to most American Jews require traditional ritual observance. It no longer means praying three times daily, studying the Torah, keeping kosher, and respecting the Shabbos. Instead, it means feeling oneself a part of the Jewish community, giving money to that community's institutions, and supporting the liberal and secularist prescriptions for American society that would theoretically allow American Jews to thrive. The perceived interests of the community and the act of working to advance those interests have been sacralized and have become a sort of secular religion themselves. A model Jew in America is not off in the synagogue at prayer, but out at a meeting discussing a new hospital, a trip to Israel, or a new fundraising drive. Many Jews came to believe that charity and the pursuit of social justice was itself the heart of the Jewish religion, and donated vast sums toward causes that they felt did not threaten their Jewish identity or lack of observance, such as Israel, Holocaust commemoration, medical research, the environment, civil rights, and combating anti-Semitism. Proportionately, very little funding was allocated for such Torah institutions as day schools and yeshivas. The good works achieved by the American Jewish civic organizations have been immense. But they have failed to keep American Jews Jewish. Organizations such as Hadassah and Bnei Bris have aging memberships, now averaging in the 50s and 60s, as younger Jews feel less of an affiliation with the Jewish causes of their parents. The United Jewish Appeal, UJA, and its federations have seen the percentage of charitable contributions of major donors drop from 70% to less than 30%. What was sown in the 1960s reaps a bitter harvest today. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is keeping her diplomatic offensive in high gear and plans to return to the Middle East within the next 2 weeks, following this coming week's visit by White House National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. Hadley joined by American President George W. Bush when he met with Defense Minister Ehud Barak on Thursday. Secretary Rice wrapped up this past week's four-day visit to the region Wednesday night without overcoming the gap between Israel and the PLO, which demands a timetable on determining the status of Jerusalem and its insistence that millions of foreign Arabs be allowed to immigrate to Israel. en route to London to speak with Jordanian King Abdullah II about the American diplomatic conference on the Middle East now scheduled for December, the secretary telling reporters, "The teams are serious, the people are serious, the issues are serious, and so I'm not surprised that there are some tensions." Continuing to quote, "I'm not surprised that there are some ups and downs, that's the character of this kind of endeavor, but I was encouraged by what I heard." Yediot Achronot, Israel's largest Hebrew daily, has panned rabbis for preparing to hold a massive prayer rally against the Olmert administration's planned division of Jerusalem Tuesday afternoon, hours before the beginning of the Hebrew anniversary of the death of assassinated Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. The newspaper headlined, "They have not learned their lesson," referring to publicly expressed anger at Rabin's agreements with former PLO chairman Yasser Arafat. The peace camp and media often put collective blame on all nationalists for the murder of Rabin, which they claim was caused by rabble-rousing. However, the newspaper apparently did not realize that the anniversary of Rabin's death is the day after the same memorial for the biblical matriarch Rachel. Organizers at the Save the Land of Israel movement have issued a declaration quoting now, "A prime minister who turns over the land to the enemy essentially has ended his term of office." For the first time, Shas party leader Eli Yeshaya has publicly committed to leaving the government if Jerusalem is placed on the chopping block. The trade and industry minister has told the Haaretz Daily that any mention of Jerusalem in the document to be signed during the planned U.S.-sponsored diplomatic summit will lead to Shas leaving the coalition. Quoting Yeshaya, referring to Chairman Avigdor Lieberman of the Yisrael Beiteinu party, "It could lead to the dissolution of the government, depending on whether Lieberman decides to leave." Dozens of members of Knesset from both the opposition and the coalition have signed a petition against plans to give parts of Jerusalem to the PLO. The petitioners are rejecting both plans to give up holy sites in the Old City and nearby City of David, as well as plans to give the PLO Arab neighborhoods in the eastern part of the city. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said earlier in the week that reports that his government planned to give the PLO parts of historic Jerusalem are false. However, he avoided defining the Jerusalem city limits, leading to suspicions that he plans to give up control over parts of the city. Gaza terrorists firing several mortar shells at Israel's western Negev area Friday morning, the shelling damaging a structure but hurting no one. Syria is dismantling the remains of the site that Israel reportedly bombed last month, according to the Washington Post, which originally published reports that the site involved a shipment of North Korean nuclear material, either missile warheads or a nuclear facility. The Post said Syria may be trying to remove the debris to prevent international supervisors from inspecting the site. The newspaper quoting officials that aerial photography revealed the site has characteristics of a small but significant nuclear reactor. Haaretz says Israel has refused a recommendation by a United Nations ambassador to begin negotiations with Lebanon over the disputed Mount Dov or Sheba Farms area on the northern side of Mount Hermon. According to envoy Geir Pedersen, the United Nations is becoming increasingly convinced that the area belongs to Lebanon, while previous statements from the world body have sided with Israel's contention that the land was taken from Syria during the Six-Day War in 1967. Syria and Lebanon working out a lack of precision in maps of the area, Israel says it will talk to whoever is determined to have had sovereignty before the war. What does the prophet Isaiah say about prospects for peace? For a look at this question, listen to the Tamar Yonah Show, on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Cheder, the eighth day of Cheshvan on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast partly cloudy with a chance of local showers on Shabbat, clear and warmer Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem on Friday, a high temperature of 26 degrees centigrade, 79 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 33 degrees centigrade, 91 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 32 degrees centigrade, 90 Fahrenheit. Tel Aviv and the Golan Heights, 27 degrees centigrade, 81 Fahrenheit. Be'er Sheva, 30 degrees centigrade, 86 Fahrenheit. Haifa, 28 degrees centigrade, 82 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather, and now for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
Partly cloudy and mild weather is in store for Pittsburgh, PA this Shabbos and into early next week. A high-pressure system will cover our region during this time and will result in partly cloudy skies with mild temperatures. We will see daytime high temperatures in the 60s and nighttime low temperatures in the 40s. With light winds and lower humidity, we will have pleasant weather on our walk to shul on Shabbos. The next chance of rain showers will arrive late on Monday or Tuesday as the cold front approaches the area from the west. Wishing everyone good weather and a great Shabbos, this has been meteorologist Glenn Foxen with your Shabbos weather.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And the milestones just keep coming. Rabbi and Mrs. Ari and Ruchel Goldberg on the birth of a baby boy. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. I know they're a little anxious about that. It's great that there's a healthy baby boy. Looking forward to the Sholem Zucker, the bris, the whole bit. Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Balsam on the birth of a great grandchild. So mazel tov to all. And boys, mark your calendars. The father and son program at the Kotel will be starting again November 10th at 7:15 p.m. More details are going to follow in the coming weeks. Call the Kotel for more information, 412-420-0220. Dr. Alex Grubman, which is going to be speaking on Thursday, November 8th at the JCC Levinson Hall at 7 p.m., will be speaking on international anti-Semitism. And he just finished a book called Nations United, about the United Nations anti-Zionistic position. Should be interesting. For more information, contact Mrs. Edie Nevay, 412-421-1500. We're also going to have him on the program before he comes in to speak, so stay tuned for that. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program, as you know, is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. The program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your muscle tubs on our program, you can do it. Please call us at 412-979-5770 or drop us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net, just like the other folks did, by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 6:16 p.m. for a look at the feminine side of things. Reporting from Israel, here's Ms. Devorah DeLynn.
I remember one time I was sitting with my mother discussing my frustration with my brother, who just wasn't listening. My mother told me that with some boys, you gotta be very specific. She once told my brother to do the potatoes for a potato salad. My brother peeled them and then left them on the counter. My mother saw and told him that he needs to put the potatoes in a pot. So, my dear, intelligent brother dumps the whole potatoes into a pot and just leaves them on the burner. When my mother came back, she realized more specific instructions were in order. Cut the potatoes, put them in a pot with water, then turn the burner on, and then cover them. For a lot of people, that's a little obvious. But for others, in this week's Torah portion, Parshas Lech Lecha, we read about the famous command from Hashem to Avraham. Lech Lecha me'atcha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeis avicha el ha'aretz asher er'echa. Go for yourself from your land, from the place of your birth, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. If you take a look in the Chumash Mikraos Gedolos, in a Chumash that has a lot of explanations, you'll find that almost every rabbi has something to say about this rather long and seemingly superfluous list of details. The Torah never implores words without reason, so what's the meaning of such a long command? The Kriyakos explanation was one I found particularly intriguing. He said that perhaps Hashem's need to use so many words can be likened to speaking to a child. They don't need to be as specific as possible, or as we saw in the anecdote of, the command may be misunderstood. Avraham wouldn't have understood the command had it only been one word, just go. The Kriyaka also points out that the acts get progressively harder. The first command, me'atcha, from your land, is not too difficult to carry out because a man can benefit from any land, not just the land he is currently occupying. Apart from this, the men of his land didn't help or assist Avraham in any way, so it was easy to leave them. The second command, mimoladetcha, from your birthplace, was a little harder. Perhaps once he has turned his heart away from his land, he may have formed an attachment with the people in his community. But they, too, didn't want strange people staying in their midst. Perhaps this was an effect of the episode with the furnace, where Avraham emerged from the fire without any harm done. From the base of Yicha and from his father's house, the third command is even more difficult. While Mibeis Avicha refers to the place where a person is comfortable, is, so to speak, home base, being in your parents' house, according to Mishlei, gives you access to money, which is an incentive that may be difficult to let go. However, there is a fourth type of connection that is stronger than the previous three, and that was the motivation that got Avraham to leave everything behind and follow Hashem's command without knowing where he was going. This is the connection between man and his essence. In Parshas Bereishis, when it speaks about the creation of man, it says he was created from dust. The Kriyaka explains that this dust came from Har HaMoriah, the mountain where the binding of Yitzchak took place, and the place where the temples were, and where the third temple will be in the future, God willing. Here, we have to get into some really deep explanations. The Bereishis Rabbah says that since everything in this world has a counterpart in the heavens, there was a connection between the temples of this world and their counterparts above. At this junction, a ladder was formed, and this is the hiding place of the essence of the body, the soul, in this world. This is why a person feels so connected at the place where the temple stood. He is so close to the essence of himself. And this is what it means when it says, Lech Lecha, to go for yourself, to go for your own good. Hashem desired to show Avraham Avinu this very special place, but he didn't want to do so until the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit, came to rest on him. And the Divine Spirit cannot rest on a person outside Eretz Yisrael. Notice how it never says, and Hashem appeared to Avraham until after he left Haran. Avraham decides to call this place Suma Shel Tzur, the ladder of the rock. By the way, this is the same place that Avraham Avinu has a dream of the ladder and the angels climbing up and down in the later Parsha. The Tzur, the rock, is referring to the Evan HaShisiyah, the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash, and the place from where everything in this world, Shisei, drinks or is nourished. Man, who is referred to as an Olam Katan, a small world, is also nourished by the Evan HaShisiyah. However, the Temple Mount, the area where the Evan HaShisiyah once stood, is currently under restricted access, and Chas Shalom, if we are not careful, it may be taken away from us completely. Our land is Eretz HaKodesh, the place from where the entire world sustains itself. How could we possibly allow someone to give it away? On that note, have a good Shabbos.
Time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In Yerushalayim, long ago, an incredible incident took place in the office of a gemach. Gemach, an acrostic for the word Gemilus Chesed, literally granting kindness, is the generally used term for an interest-free loan fund. Customarily, the various gemachs in Yerushalayim were all open on Thursdays to be available to people who needed to borrow money for food on Shabbos. By Thursday night, all the gemach offices would be closed, mainly because money that had been available for the week was already gone. Most people knew from experience to come early in the day, while there was money still available. If a few gemachs happened to be open Thursday night, none would be open Friday except for one. The compassionate and sympathetic Reb Reuven kept his gemach open, just in case someone needed him at the last minute. True, there was not much money left by Friday, but he felt that one never knew who might be in a desperate need. One Friday, when all the gemachs were closed except for Reb Reuven's, a fellow came in and asked to borrow money for his family's Shabbos food. Reb Reuven recognized the young man, for he had been there at the gemach the day before, and he said, "If I am correct, I recall that you were here yesterday." "Yes," chimed in Reb Reuven's attendant, who was standing by. "How can we lend you money 2 days in a row?" The young man's face flushed with anger. "Are you trying to tell me that I don't need the money?" he fumed. "No, we are not saying that at all," started Reb Reuven. "Well, then lend me the money that I need. I already have co-signers for surety," interrupted the young man. Reb Reuven looked at the young man compassionately and said, "I'm truly sorry, but the policy of the gemach is not to lend an individual twice within such a short period. And besides, you have already borrowed the limit that we will allow someone to borrow." The young man was enraged. Yelling, he stormed towards Reb Reuven and slapped him across the face. The gentle Reb Reuven stood there in shock and disbelief. No one had ever had the audacity to scream at him, let alone slap him. The attendant started towards the young man, but Reb Reuven held him back. "Wait a minute," Reb Reuven said to the young man. "I'll be back with the money right away." Reb Reuven went downstairs and hurried directly to some people on whom he knew he could rely on in an emergency, and came back shortly with the money. He gave the bills to the young man and wished him well. The young man thanked him and left. Because of the noise and commotion, a few neighbors had gathered in the office to see what had happened. They stood by respectfully and quiet as Reb Reuven handed over the money. But when the young man left, they all began to talk at once, asking Reb Reuven why in the world he had gone to get the money when the person acted towards him in such a humiliating way. Reb Reuven, whose face still stung from the slap, explained, "I know this fellow. Under normal circumstances, he never would have acted this way. He must be having such terrible problems that he lost himself completely. It's because he did behave in such an unnatural way that I realized how desperate his position is. Now more than ever is the time to help him." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
So we come to the close of yet another exciting edition of your Jewish Experience radio program. I want to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Asaf Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schumann, Ms. Deborah DeLynn, reporting from Israel, and our engineer, Jeremiah Lebossenstein, for yet another outstanding show. We were going to have Rabbi Heschel Greenberg on with us this evening, but he was called to a hospital bed for someone having emergency surgery, so we hope everything's going to be okay, but he is our expert on the Bible codes. We'll try to have him on next week. Don't forget, candlelighting time, 6:16 p.m. It's been a lot of fun, but I got to run. And as you know, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. We'll see you all next week. Same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel.
ממלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא שבת שלום שבת שלום שבת שלום שבת שלום שבת שלום
Shabbat.